Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campsie, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campsie, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, so thankful once again are we for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Lord, thank you for this day that you've made, and we've purposed in our heart to rejoice and be glad in it. As we look over our lives and see where you've brought us from, and as we look in our future and see where you're bringing us to, we have nothing but praise and glory to give to you this day. Now look upon every heart, every person present here today. Meet them right where they are, where their needs are, right in their situation, their conditions, and minister to them. Father, we love you. We put no other God before you. We just say thank you. We thank you for life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness in Christ Jesus. God, you have truly made a way for us. You've truly brought us out of the muck and the mire and planted our feet on higher ground. And again, for that we say thank you. Oh God, we give you glory. We give you glory. Because you're worthy of all glory, of all honor. So once again this day, let the Holy Ghost have his way in this worship service. Meet us right where we are. Lift us to the place you'd have us to be. And we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the believer said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say thank you, Lord. Oh Lord, thank say thank you. One more time, if you don't mind. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. All my heart and mind, I say thank you.
just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you. How many of you know God's been so good to us? In spite of us, he's been good. Been so good, so good. Oh, Lord. Lord, you've been so good. Not ashamed to say you've been so good. I just want to say thank you. Give the Lord a hand of praise, if you will. From the book of Psalms, number 108. Beginning at verse 1, Psalm number 108, verse 1 says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. I like the way David starts off here, literally talking about a fixed heart, a fixed heart. It's important, my brothers and sisters, to understand David in the context of this fixed heart experience. One of the things that I want us to know, first of all, is that there are many attributes and characteristics of the heart, and there are many positions, many times of the heart, but there's none as stable, stout, and strong as a fixed, stabled heart. Not a vacillating heart, not a heart that's good one moment and bad the next, not a heart that's happy one moment and sad the next. Not a heart that is fat one moment and lean the next, but a fixed, stabled heart. And most of this, as it comes into the understanding of our consciousness, has more to do with God. First thing we need to know is that every heart needs fixing. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, how long you've been with the Lord, how new you've been with the Lord. Every heart needs fixing. One of the things that the enemy may make you believe is that your heart is fixed outside of the Lord, but so far from that is the truth. And many times our heart will fool us, deceive us, because Jeremiah chapter 17 reveals that the heart is wicked, it's desperate, and that it is in a place where even the owner of the heart doesn't even really know it. But verse 10 says, I, the Lord, know the heart. He tries it even by the reins, the tugging, the intentions of the heart. So first thing I need you to know is everybody needs their heart fixed. But second thing I need to tell you is only God can fix it right. Only God can properly fix your heart. Now, I do well today to walk through these verses I just read and show you some of the different characteristics of a fixed heart. The first one I want you to see is the confident heart. He starts off, oh God, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. One of the good things about a fixed heart is you stop looking at other folks' heart and judging other folks' heart by looking at your own heart and making sure it's in the right place. confidence in the fact that your heart has been fixed by the Lord. Oh God, he is confirming confidently that he is aware of his heart that has been fixed by the Lord. And if it's been fixed by the Lord, it is in a good state. It is in a good place. It is in a place where God can commune with him, fellowship with him, fill him with all of the things that he desires him to feel and to know and to experience. And he does it with joy and not with grief, because he knows this: if he delights himself in the Lord, that God will give him the desires of his heart. Now listen, God only does that with a fixed heart. Because if you fix your heart on God, then God will show you how to desire the things he wants for your life to be the best that that life can be. Our hearts can fool us, can trick us, can play games on us, can illuminate things that God does not show us. And yet if we're not careful, we can be misused and abused by our own hearts. But he starts off confidently saying, my heart is fixed. Now he moves on from the confident heart to a happy heart. That's one of the reasons why folk can't sing, because their hearts aren't happy. And their hearts aren't happy because their hearts aren't fixed. Listen to what he goes on to say. He says, again, I will sing, right after he gets through saying, my heart is fixed. See, one of the things that you got to realize is, brothers and sisters, when God fixes your heart, it doesn't matter about your head. Doesn't matter about your circumstances or your situations. If your heart is fixed, you're going to recognize that if God has done it, then he has done it with a purpose in mind. And praise is always a part of the fixed heart. Listen at this. Do we have good days every day? But is God good every day? That's a reason to sing. You may be down some days, you may be sick some days, but regardless of that, if your heart is fixed in the midst of your downness, in the midst of your sickness, in the midst of your sorrows, in the midst of your situation, if your heart is fixed, because listen to this, the one good thing about a fixed heart is it knows the right song to sing. Somebody didn't get that. I say if your heart is fixed, you know the right song to sing. If you're down and bound, you say, you're coming up, you're coming out, this too shall pass. You sing the songs of deliverance. If you're down and out and things are going rough, you begin to praise God and thank him for the deliverance. I mean, no matter what your situation is, if you're sick, you begin to sing the songs of healing. So no matter what it is, the song is always compatible with the heart's relationship to God. So no matter what's going on in your life, you can still sing with a happy heart. I tell you, that kind of stuff messes up the devil. Because he messes up your day to get you thrown off, to keep you from giving God praise, to keep you from lifting up your voice, to keep you from declaring, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will, an act of my will, the volition, not how I feel, the emotions. Rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you know, it messed up the devil madly and badly when he messed with Job, and Job still gave God the glory. And he fought him for 42 chapters. But in the end, God says, you can't mess with a fixed heart. Job's heart was fixed. I can walk through the word and share with you other biblical characters whose hearts were fixed, and they went through situations and circumstances. And one of the joys of having a fixed heart is you don't have to wait till you come through to be happy. Don't have to wait, because you know you're on your way out. Yay! Before I ever step foot into the valley, I'm singing a happy song. So listen to what he says. My heart, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing. Try to stop me. Confident heart, a happy heart. I will sing. I don't care what the situation is. I'll make a song up for it. I will sing. Listen to this, because I want you to see this very clearly. Praises. Don't leave out this last word, but I had to get the fact of you knowing that you've got a song no matter what the situation. I will sing, not the blues. A whole lot of us, when we get down and out, we want to put the blues on. Thrill is gone. Well, get it back. But no, if you're going to sing it's gone and you're going to perpetuate it's gone, it ain't coming back. You know, I'm catching hell. Living here, you know, I can go on. Y'all know the blues. You know it. You know it. But that's not what he said. I will sing when things are blue. I'm going to sing things to make it bright. Because praises, and all you have to do to sing a praise song is think back on what God has already done. Praises, listen, is situated in the actions of God. All you got to do is think of his goodness to you. That's why he says, I will sing praises. I can't sing for you, but I can sing for myself. I will sing praises. You start getting into that spirit of praise, that mindset of praise, because your heart becomes happy because it is confidently fixed in God. It brings you to another place. Look at what he says, because this next part is important. He says, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. A confident, happy heart can't sleep long and late. You just got too much excitement, too much joy in you. It won't let you just sleep till the midday time. It just won't do. Listen, he says, awake. Now he employs an instrument. Harp, flute, whatever the case may be in his case, but whatever it may be in yours. And then notice what he goes on to say. He says, I myself will awake early. Now I want you to know that's fresh and first. When you are confident and happy, you want to give God his praise fresh and first. Why is that important? Because you start the day, set the tenor and the tone for how you want that day to roll on by how you begin to project the realities of your confident, happy heart. In other words, you begin to release out of your mouth, not only for what you're thankful and grateful for, not only for what you're confident in, but how you want this day to progress in its ensuing realities. You are making clear, no matter what comes this day, I will sing praises. Now I gotta tell you, when the devil hears you saying stuff like that, he already knows. He don't really want to bother with you, because when you got a made up mind and a fixed heart, you just ain't the one he really want to be dealing with. He'd rather get some of them saints who sing and shout on Sunday but live defeated lives Monday through Saturday. He'd rather get somebody he can wake up on the wrong side of the bed and the rest of their day is messed up. He wants to get somebody that may be okay at home, but when they get to work, first time the foot hits the door, it ain't a good morning, and the rest of the day follows the fact that it ain't good neither, and they can't get themselves together for the rest of the day. But when he gets somebody who gets up fresh and early and begin the day with a happy heart, begin the day with employing singing and praise and glory to God, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it gets your mind straight to follow your heart. See, we begin to speak a lot of negative things because there's a lot of negative things in our hearts. We begin to speak a lot of defeated things in out of our mouths because there's a lot of defeated things in our hearts. We begin to speak those things that are not like God out of our mouths because there's not a lot like God in our hearts. And so it sets our days up to be just like our hearts. Listen to that well. But I want you to see something else. Not only does he talk about a confident heart, a happy heart, and a wide awake heart, but he also talks about a fearless heart. Listen at this. He says, verse 3, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Now listen, you've got to have a fearless heart to be able to sing praises or to give praises or to speak praises outside the church. See, it's all right to stand up in here and clap, lift up holy hands, shout, jump, dance, run. It's all right up in here, but can you do it outside of here? without worrying about folk thinking you done lost your mind? Can you do it out there without you worrying about folk ridiculing you? Can you do it outside there without worrying about the effects of man's words on your ears and in your heart? Listen to what he says. What God has done for me in here, I will declare it everywhere. A fearless heart makes you say what God wants you to say wherever it is he wants you to say it. In front of whomever it is he wants you to say it. However he wants you to say it and do it. You become fearless because you know what God has done once. He can do it again. And you are his mouthpiece to give him praise and glory. And that may just be some other folk that he wants to see. There is a witness of his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. And if you are that reality, then you ought to open up your mouth. And singing carries the connotation of saying it with joy and loudness. We ought to stop being so scary whispering if we do say it to one another. Don't want the other neighbors or the co-workers or the other folk to hear, yeah, child, God is good. You know, I didn't know how it was going to be. What? If they can shout all that other stuff, you telling me you can't shout the goodness of the Lord? If they can get in the corners and send you all kind of crazy, dirty emails and jokes and all that mess, you can't write them back and say, listen, don't send that garbage to me. Let me share something. God has been good to me. And send them something back that lets them know you're a child of the Most High God and you've got something worth sharing. Need to have a fearless heart. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, God will use you greater. And God will use you in more abundant places than you ever thought of. Why do you think God uses some folk who we consider to be a man, a nobody, somebody who's not looked upon as intelligent and sophisticated and all that? God will use them. I'm always amazed. Incident happened the other day. I was on Canal Street and a brother was sitting on a little milk carton with a little umbrella on his head for a cap. Big old thick Bible like this in his hand and a bullhorn in the other hand, preaching Jesus. Preaching on the street corner of Canal Street. And I looked at that brother and I said, what a wonderful demonstration of a fearless love for Christ. Wasn't worrying about what folk thought about him. Wasn't worrying about how folk looked at him. All he did effortlessly and fearlessly was sat there and just preached the word of God. And then I got to thinking, how many of us would do that?
All right now. All right.
See, because if some of my members caught me on Canal Street preaching, looking like that brother was looking, they'd want to turn and go the other way and say, Pastor lost his mind. He got all these people to preach to, and there he is down on the corner looking like. Well, see, one of the things that you got to realize that the audience he was preaching to and was trying to reach was some of the folk who looked like him. And see, that's why some of us can't reach folk, because we're too fashionably high. We think we're all that, and our gospel is for a certain sect of people. And you can't come to our church unless you meet our standards. But the God I serve is able to go to the guttermost and then reach up to the uttermost and save everyone in between. But you've got to have that kind of anointing and spirit on your life where it is a fearless presentation, a singing, a preaching, a ministering of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, because your heart is fixed. For blocks you could hear him. I could hear him before I ever saw him. And my brothers and sisters, I'm trying to tell you, there's nothing like a fearless heart. God can use you in more ways and places than you ever knew if you could have your heart to become fearless. But I got to tell you something else. You also have to have a thankful heart. Somebody say a thankful heart. Verse 4 reveals, look at what he says. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Here is the inference is God, your mercy is, and he's thankful for this, that your mercy reaches up to the high heavens. In other words, there is no end to your mercy. And just as high as your mercy is, so is your truth. And when you find the truth of God, you find the mercy of God. And where you find the mercy of God, you'll find the truth of God. They are linked together and they are in the same realm. And so when you begin to see this and your heart experiences the mercies of God, notice I didn't say mercy, I said mercies of God. Because we experience his mercies every day. Every day we experience God's mercies on one level to the next level, in one arena to the next arena. And so when we experience his mercies, and listen to this, it is brought about by his truth. One, who he is and what he does and what he has and what he means and all of the things that concern him. And then secondly, those things that relate to us. It comes from the truth of his word. It's because he is love that we experience his love. And not because of who we are or think we are ourselves. So he has a thankful heart. Some of the people of God ought to just learn how to be thankful. Just ought to learn how to be thankful for the mercies of God, for the truth of God. Because you know it's the truth that makes you free. We were bound, but his truth gave us the ability to walk in the ability of God's freedom and God's love and God's mercies and God's truth. But there's something else I want you to see. He has a God-honoring heart, not just a thankful heart, not just a fearless heart, not just a wide awake heart, not just a happy heart, not just a confident heart, but a God-honoring heart. Look at what he says in verse 5. Be thou exalted. God, be thou lifted above everything, everybody, every situation, every circumstance. He has a God-honoring heart. He knows that there's no one above God. And he's saying, listen, God, I want you to know that in my heart and in my mind, there's nothing and nobody who can compare with you. You are the exalted one. In my experiences, I want you to be exalted. In what I say, in what I do, in everything that concerns me, you are exalted, lifted up, high, and lifted up. Listen at this, because he says this is important. O God, above the heavens and thy glory above all the earth. A God-honoring heart. See, that's the kind of heart God wants to have in the believers. But when you have a God-honoring heart, I don't care what's going on, God's going to get the glory. I don't care who's in power and who's in authority. You recognize it is a given power and a given authority by God. No power is greater than God's power. You honor God and you exalt God and you recognize that he is above everything there is because he created it. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, God loves to be honored. But listen to this. He more especially loves to be honored by his own. There is not anyone in any relationship who would prefer to be honored by someone outside of their relationship. In other words, if a woman is married to a man, she'd rather hear, baby, you look beautiful from her husband than 10,000 men. If she got good sense. Same with a man. He'd rather hear from his wife, you look handsome, than to hear it from 10,000 women. Because here is the truth of the matter. She knows him when he's good, she knows him when he's bad, she knows him when he's up.